Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Steve Williamson here. We have Mike Costantino with us today.
Yes, here we are. Mike Costantino.
Yeah, he usually likes to announce himself.
Now, I'm going to say his name because I say it better than you.
Okay.
Randy Perez. Now, it should be the second syllable. Yeah, Perez rather than Perez. Go ahead.
So we have with us in the studio today.
Perez.
Perez. And you originally from, Randy is the person who is behind the recall of Russell Pierce, and he has a campaign now to unelect Sheriff Joe Arpaio, and he spent his life as a organizer. He worked with farm workers. He's worked with church-based groups in organizing, and he founded a group that he'll tell you about that to call recall Russell Pierce. Russell Pierce is, of course, the Senate president, or was the Senate president here. He comes from a very conservative district. But let's talk a little bit to Randy. Where are you from originally?
Originally, I was born and raised in Sacramento, California.
And your father was he a deputy sheriff?
He was a deputy sheriff. He rose to ranks of a sergeant before he was killed in a tragic car accident.
Sorry to hear that. Was your father a big influence in your life?
Yes, he was. I learned more about my father's work after he died as a public person than when he was my father. He was the founder, was one of two people that founded the Latino Peace Officers Association, which now, 30 years after his death, is a national organization in over 40 states, including Puerto Rico. And that organization was created in the 70s to deal with issues of our recruitment, hiring, and retention of Latino officers, to deal with issues of discrimination taking place in those departments of those times. So he really is one of my heroes.
So you are really, in some sense, even though you're not in law enforcement, you followed in your mm-hmm. father's footsteps so that he was active politically. Mm-hmm. You trained, you went to law school, you're a lawyer. You went to the public, what do you call it, Mike? At Harvard, I guess it is, the JFK School of Public Service.
All right. Well, I started as an undergrad at UC Berkeley, and I went to law school there. And after my first semester of law school, I was a little disillusioned. I applied for a joint degree at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard to get my master's in public administration. And I was able to do that over 4 years. I had a joint degree in 4 years.
And you've been a political organizer ever since, for 16 years?
And a candidate for office.
And a candidate. Randy ran for a Senate in the last election. Didn't win.
No.
All right. Let's talk.
Much more of a community organizer.
Much more of a community organizer. And a fairly brilliant community organizer. I must say, when I heard that there was a movement to recall Russell Pierce, I didn't think it would go any... Tell us a little bit how you organized it, because it's not probably what people will expect. It's not a bunch of radical liberal guys, is it? It was a broad-based movement.
Right. It really started with just some conversations. It was triggered for me personally by him being elected to be president of the Senate by his Republican colleagues after just one of the worst statewide elections for, if you're a Democrat, losing pretty much every major statewide office. And then for them, within a week or two, for the Republicans to really take... to send a message that they're even going more extreme to the far, far right with the Tea Party folks and put Russell Pierce as president of the Senate, for me, is about rewarding what I thought was bad behavior.
So it's one thing for getting him elected. It was another... What puts you over the edge was that he was made Senate president, a really powerful position in Arizona.
Yeah, absolutely. And someone who really controlled the agenda at the legislature over the impact over the lives of 6 million people. And we saw what he did with SB 1070 in terms of really, putting the focus on things that weren't really the cause of what was taking place in Arizona with the economy. And so it was this politics of fear and division that just didn't sit right for me.
Let me interrupt because we want to make sure that with newcomers, we have Russell Pierce was a legislator from a Mesa district. We have Steve Pierce, who is the current
Senate president who is from around our representative. We have Russell Pierce, P-E-A-R-C-E, who has been recalled. We have Steve Pierce, P-I-E-R-C-E, who is currently serving as Senate president, who is our senator. Go ahead.
Well, you were shocked that that the Republicans, I guess in a sense, we've all been shocked at how far right they were moving. Because Russell Pierce was once considered an extremist, and they didn't fancy his bills and his politics originally when he got in 10 years ago.
Absolutely.
And suddenly he's the center. He's then the leader of the Republican Party, basically. And people thought he was more powerful than our governor, Jan Brewer.
Yeah, absolutely, because when he came to power as president of the Senate, he had a veto-proof majority. And so he didn't really need the governor to get anything done if he wanted to. And so it was just that type of situation where Arizona was being branded as a state that was very extreme. At a time when really needed to like bring people together, Russell Pierce is not one that can bring people together. He's one that really wants to appeal only to a very extreme component of his own party.
Let's back up for a minute and make sure we identify Randy's organizations. You had the recall Pierce. And was that part of the Citizens for Better Arizona? Now, that still goes on. Citizens for Better Arizona is continuing.
To recall a legislature, you have to create a special recall committee, which we did, and it was called Citizens for Better Arizona. We did that work, and then once he was officially recalled, sometime about June, when they actually called the recall election, by August 15th, we then transferred we closed down the committee and then created a 501c4 organization called Citizens for a Better Arizona. So we are now today a 501c4 social welfare organization.
And you have an internet website?
Yes, we do.
Okay. You had an intuition that Republicans in Mesa were really not that happy with Russell Pierce. That it wasn't just Democrats and independents, many independents who don't vote for anybody ever, but you had an intuition that there was a lot of unhappiness among Republicans in the district. And I think that was a big surprise to people, at least up here.
Yeah, I mean, we looked at an election, I think it was 2008, that where Russell Pierce had a challenger. I think his name was Givens, and that gentleman got 30% of the vote, and I heard he had a horrible campaign, and in a primary, he got 30% of the vote, and that was in 08, and that was before 2010. So we figured that's the base of it, the Republican Party. Sure, there's more folks out there, given what's taking place, who don't share his values, or don't share the direction he wants to lead the state. And then we started having conversations with more and more people that lived in the district, and we got a good sense of what was going out there. There were people who had really strong connections to her. One woman, her name was Mary Lou Betcher. She was a retired educator, very involved in the Republican Party. She founded the Republican Women's Political Caucus in Mesa, been there for over 40 years. She was at one time a PC person in the LD18 Republican circles. And she was there until Russell Pierce got involved and started, bullying his way around and making people feel uncomfortable. And she basically quit. She tells me stories. She used to come home to her husband and just complain and rant and rave. And he finally said, no, you need to give this thing up because you just can't get away from it. So she wasn't the only one. There's more and more people like her who had a different type of politics, a politics of much more moderation, a politics actually of ideas and facts, which Russell Pierce is not too concerned about. So
not a big fact guy.
Yeah, yeah. No, so I think, and as a retired educator, we have people who teach our children who are both Republican and Democrat. They don't appreciate being like Russell Pierce was doing, blaming teachers and their pensions and attacking public education as if it had no value. And so I think those types of issues and those types of positions beyond the SB 1070 and the whole anti-immigration stance of Russell Pierce really brought more people to our side to willing to get engaged in this campaign.
And that's why you deserve the credit. I mean, you saw that there were Republicans that wanted a chance and weren't getting it to express their displeasure at this kind of extremism. Is that right?
Yes. And Russell Pierce had such a hold on that district in terms of the politics. If you saw what happened with the recall, every major Republican leader lined up behind him, from the governor all down, therefore including Sheriff Arpaio, including the other folks. And the beauty of the recall is that with all that support, with the declaration of the Republican Party standing next to him, with Chuck Coughlin, the Republican strategist who's worked closely with the governor, saying if any Republican runs against Russell Pierce, we'll destroy you. And still, they lost. Not only did they lose, they got whooped by 12 points, and they lost 42 of 51 precincts. So that was about Republicans, Democrats, and Independents coming together for a better cause and a better vision for that particular district.
But you started the recall, and you didn't know who was going to run against Russell Pierce.
No, at that time, we didn't care.
And you didn't care, and you just thought someone would come forward in time.
Yeah, we believed that there would be someone would see it as a unique opportunity, because Republicans are part of our inner group as well, and if I believe in the goodness of them and the goodness of what we were doing, surely we believe in the goodness of that district, that someone would see this as their calling, that they would say that this was something that they need to do, because no one could run against Russell Pierce if they're only interested in their own political future. It had to be a newcomer, someone who was more interested in the call to serve, versus because it would take a Republican, and we were thinking a Mormon Republican, to actually stand up in Russell Pierce's backyard and take him on against all the establishment of Republicans. That takes a certain special person. We knew that person was not going to surface unless we created the opportunity.
So you create the opportunity, create the possibility, and someone stepped forward and he won. Jerry Lewis.
Yes.
And he had never run for office before.
No, he hadn't. This is
and
someone,
he's a conservative, and he's a Mormon.
Oh, yeah, this is someone, though, who's actually he's a decent human being. When you can talk to him about whether it's immigration, what's about the Dream Act, what's about the economy, what's about education, unions even, he'll meet with anybody. He's not in there just to serve the Tea Party or one faction of the Republican Party. He's in there to actually represent the district. So I think he's a model. Obviously, him and I do not agree on most issues, but he'll recognize me. We can have a conversation. And then the tone's been different. So that type of situation is what we needed. And so Jerry Lewis is maybe a throwback to a time when actually politicians and leaders could actually sit down and talk about issues without antagonizing and blaming people for what's taking place.
This is not a small thing. This is very Arizona. You know, the expectation would have been, certainly nationwide, to have Randy come up with a left-wing candidate or a left-leaning candidate and take on the I hate to use the word bigot, but I'll use it. This current Senate president, all his power, and the creator of 1070, SB 1070, and yet what he did was put forth a moderate Mormon Republican and win by. Can I say landslide?
Yes, landslide.
And you didn't try to control in the outcome in one way. You just controlled. Recalling Pierce, and then you let the people of Mesa right. come up with a candidate.
Absolutely.
And you found out that they didn't want Russell Pierce anymore to be their representative.
Yeah, right, yeah, because we cannot, we can't say we got the candidate. We created the conditions for someone like Jerry Lewis to emerge. And there were really good Republican leaders who've been in that community much longer than I have ever been, who are families of distinction in that community. And they start having conversations. And my sense is, from folks I've talked to since, and they went through four or five candidates before they got to Jerry Lewis, people they were thinking about running to really stand up against Russell Pierce. But, they were vetting different people, so Jerry Lewis wasn't even the first choice for them.
So basically, Republican conservatives kind of came up with a candidate to run against the most powerful extreme Republican in the state of Arizona.
Right, because they believe that Russell Pierce's position on many issues was too extreme for them.
Tell us how you came up with that slogan.
Yeah, well, we were targeting different households to get these signatures, and there's over 18,000 Democrats that were in the vote, that are registered to vote, over 21,000 independents. And so as we were going through that, we weren't really targeting Republicans at the households, at the door to door. We weren't sending the mail, we weren't phone banking. So they would come to the library. And so we looked at all the numbers. Over 1,500 Republicans on their own volition came to the library to sign this petition. This one particular day, this one gentleman identified himself as, he signed and his wife signed, and he identified himself as a Republican and a Mormon. So I said, excuse me, sir, I'm just curious, why would you come and sign this petition? And he looked at us and he said, no, Russell Pierce is too extreme for me. And so we knew we were striking a chord. We then used that as part of our slogan in terms of educating people. That was about the extremism. It was beyond being a Republican or a Democrat. It was about what's best for Mesa and what's best for Arizona. So I think that's how we really saw the sea change take place in people's minds. People are already tired of it, what was taking place.
And they particularly didn't like what he was doing with public education, right?
Right.
That's an issue for both Republicans and Democrats.
The education issue, it was the birth issue. It was the guns on campuses back then. I mean, mind you, any other year they might have tolerated, but this was during one of the worst economic downturns in Arizona's history, and Russell Pierce was talking about changing the Constitution. He wasn't talking about creating jobs or bringing more people in. He was still attacking people and pursuing a political agenda at the expense of all the rest of us. So I think for those reasons, our movement started to get traction because people saw this as a way to get engaged.
So what it really was is he's pursuing, I guess we call it, a Tea Party agenda,
yes.
Extreme ideological agenda. And he really alienated the people he represented who wanted to have a full representation of all the issues that concerned them. They wanted something on education. They wanted something to improve the economy, and he's just raging around today.
Raging around, you know, not changing his message at all, still staying the extreme person, not moderating the message, not caring about the Democrats at all in his own district or even independents, only concerned about the right-wing Tea Party, right? And that's just not going to appeal to people in a general election. And so I think those were the factors that we thought we were able to win on, because, you know, he is very much an ideologue, Russell Pierce.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, he believes us to his own detriment. The things that he says and does, and we don't have to put up with it. We can retire him. He isn't. It's a privilege to be president of the Senate. You can't just be president of the Senate and say anything you want and do whatever you want without consequences.
So you had a tremendous amount of support when you came up with this idea of recalling him at the beginning?
Absolutely not. I'm sure people thought we were crazy, and some people thought we were.
I thought you were crazy.
Well, some people thought it was. There were people with money, prestige, position, and power. We're fearful. They didn't want their name attached to it. They weren't sure about this. The status quo was not where we were going to get an establishment. It was not where we were going to get the support to make this thing happen. And many people with even national connections just take a pass on us. Oh, no, we can't do that. Oh, no, it's just not going to happen. You know, it's funny because they'll go and do a prayer vigil at the Capitol, or they'll go on a march on a Saturday, which does nothing, but they won't go and really collect, 20 signatures towards the downfall of Russell Pierce being recalled. So it's just, I just think as an organizer, you have to somehow organize within people's experiences. What this was was so far outside people's experiences, they just don't know what to do with it.
Well, we're doing the anatomy of the recall of Russell Pierce.
It shocked the whole country,
historic,
and I think internationally, that he could be recalled.
Senate president. We're talking about the de facto governor of Arizona was recalled, and for only one in 100 years, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
But I want to talk about this more. Actually, I want to talk about the fact that he's going to run some more. But we do want to get to the Arpaio. The next thing on our agenda is talking about. As far as I'm concerned, the other power mad leader in Maricopa County, and that's Sheriff Joe Arpaio. But let's talk. What else is on Russell Pierce's calendar?
He recently announced that he is running again for the new state Senate District LD-25. The same day he announced, another Republican Mormon announced, a leader in the church named Bob Worsley announced as well that he's running for that seat as well. So Russell Pierce is not going to have a clear path to victory. He's really going to have to take on someone in his own party if he really wants that position. So I see ourselves playing a role as well to make sure, because a lot of our volunteers made a huge investment last year to remove him from office, and so we do not want to see him, back in.
Those of us that do elections all the time, and we know this clearly, but explain the difference. Russell Pierce and Worley are running in a primary. In fact, one of Russell Pierce's complaints in the recall was that he had to what? Tell us that story.
Oh, yeah. Russell Pierce, once the recall was going forward, he was upset because he said now, everyone gets to vote. He had been happy just, being elected in the primary and having a cakewalk in the general. And he was fearful of facing his own constituents. Whether they're Republican, independent, or Democrat, you shouldn't be fearful of your constituents. You should be able to carry an agenda that people, at least for the most part, the majority of them will represent you. He had become so comfortable with just, appealing to the primary voters that he was, he didn't want to face the whole folks. Now he feels probably emboldened because he gets a primary chance to get to back to the Senate, and for the most part, maybe you'll know in that particular district it's only 23% are Democrats, so the far majority are Republicans and then another bigger slice of independents. So whoever wins the primary will actually win the seat, and so he thought he'd just walk through there, no one would dare challenge him. But the same group of Republicans that found Jerry Lewis, that same coalition met and they got Bob Worsley to run. And so we believe, them working on that, us focusing on independents and some of the Republican women, that they'll come out in the primary to make sure that Russell Pierce is not returned to the Senate.
When I heard that, I thought all his opponent had to do was replay that his quote saying, "Well, everybody gets to vote now. It's not fair." I mean,
the primary. So few people vote in the primaries. It's very easy to the most extreme people. So when you do a poll of Arizona, it's one-third Democrats, one-third Republicans, one-third independents. Independents, actually, I guess, are heading to be the bigger number. But when the primaries happen, these very extreme guys get in, like Russell Pierce.
Let me give an example. This is how easy it is for the Tea Party to control a primary. Let's say, for example, you have a situation where there's 45,000 Republicans. Let's say 15,000 turn out. Let's say out of those 15,000, 10,000 of them are moderate. Let's say that 10,000, they've split their vote, right? Then you got the 5,000 Tea Party folks.
Right.
They just carry it. It's that simple. It's so easy to control who comes out of the primary, given the numbers.
And you were able to work, you know, and I heard you talk very respectably about the Republicans that you worked with on this, the Senate. You have real strong disagreements with on a whole lot of positions, but you guys were able to work together and actually accomplish something. So you were able to reach across from a progressive perspective to conservative.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this really showed, for the most part, people are so into playing the party ID and label to keep people divided. The beauty of the recall is that the only way we could win is if Democrats and Republicans actually work together. The reason for that, because the Republicans that ended up leading the charge to get the candidate never would have spearheaded or launched a recall. It was just too much of a risk. And us as Democrats, we can never win with a candidate. And so we were the ones that actually were able to go out there and initially launch the recall.
This is something different than I think has really happened in American politics, this combination of Democrats sort of beginning the recall and the Republicans stepping in and coming up with a candidate and everybody voting and Russell Pierce is out. I tell you, though, when I moved to Arizona in 2003, I was astonished at the corruption in Maricopa County. The county attorney, the sheriff, their willingness to use their power against political opponents. Mm-hmm. I understand that Sheriff Joe Aprile had you thrown in jail.
Yeah, they had me arrested in 2008 because I attended a board supervisors meeting and spoke out. You know, was asked to leave. I left, as well as other people part of our group. And then apparently they were targeting me, and so I was eventually arrested standing outside in front of the building. I was outside the building in a public space. And they thought I needed to go further away, and I told them I was in my right to be there. And so, long story short, within a matter of minutes, I was arrested, handcuffed, taken down, detained, leg shackled, led into solitary confinement, treated like a terrorist, for a misdemeanor criminal trespass. Was arraigned, and then was page two with another charge of disorderly conduct, which when that occurred, they could have done it in the room. They didn't do it then. And so it was just really just to harass me, to kind of, you know, send me a message, because we had been ramping up people at the Board of Supervisors for about 4 months.
Then they make this clear.
They charged you with one charge,
yeah.
And then they waited
until the afternoon.
As long as they could hold you on that charge, then they charged you with another charge.
They keep me in the rest, exactly.
So they could hold you longer.
And a couple of Republican lawyers,
right,
were shocked by what happened, and they decided to defend you.
Yeah, during my arraignment that day, they came in, and the judge said, "Oh, your lawyers are here to see you," and I didn't really know, I didn't have any lawyers, and so one of the guys' name was Chad Snow, the other guy was Alex Carpio. But interesting about Chad Snow, when I was being arrested outside, they had actually arrested him inside. He just stood up when the meeting adjourned, and they just said, "That's him," and they had him handcuffed in the hallway. And then he just remembers that he was asking what was going on, what's happening. And then at one point they said, "That's not him." And then when they released him, he turned and he saw them bringing me through, arrested. And so it was in his mind, it was his sense that they thought he was me. But it wasn't. So then that's when he witnessed that, he just said no, he wanted to represent me. We didn't even know each other that day.
I think one of the points you made was that.
And then he ended up being the chairman of our recall effort 4 years later.
Good, good.
That's a great story.
One of the things that happens is, that you're charged with stuff that they'll never convict you on, but it would have cost you $20,000 by the time they were eventually, yes, dropped the charges on you. So when you're charged with stuff, you're almost punished even if you're innocent and even if you're found innocent, because by the time you pay the legal fees.
Absolutely.
In this case, these guys stepped in.
They stepped in, but they don't do that for most people, and that's the problem. I mean, we did depositions. You're sitting there, Depot, this one guy who was a captain of the bomb and SWAT squad division, and under oath in a deposition, he admitted that he was assigned to gather intelligence on me and another organizer named Raquel Tarán. What in the world is the captain of the bomb and SWAT squad division doing at a Board of Supervisors meeting, following a citizen around, when we go in there, no arms, no weapons, just to go speak at the Board of Supervisors?
This is a great segue here into the Arpaio thing, that it's been said that he's spending a lot of time arresting busboys, while murders and rapists go undetected in Maricopa County. I mean, because the arresting the undocumented workers gets more headlines than busting real criminals.
So why did they let so many charges of sexual abuse go uninvestigated while they were spending all our money doing this going after because, people who are working.
Well, that and what's your plans? Where are you going with Arpaio after Pierce?
Well, to answer the first question, why did this take place? We in 2008, we started going to the Board of Supervisors. We're asking these very same questions. We decided to focus on the Board of Supervisors because that's where all the money comes through, rather than doing a frontal assault against Sheriff Arpaio, which he actually enjoys. So we wanted to make more people feel uncomfortable and spread the heat around so they could get the reaction that we wanted. We found out that, you know, we called it the triangle of corruption. The reason it was taking place because the Board of Supervisors met with 4 Republicans and 1 Democrat. They were in his pocket. Andrew Thomas, county attorney, was in his pocket. So these folks were supposed to hold each other accountable, were actually in collusion with one another. No one was willing to hold. They were all, the Board of Supervisors were scared of Arpaio. Arpaio was working with Andrew Thomas, the county attorney. And Arpaio was pursuing his own political agenda to the detriment of other law enforcement. So, you know, the smuggling unit would increase with manpower, and the special victims unit would decrease based on, you know, what was the flavor of the day of that week that you go after politically, right? And so, you know, just recently they finally got time cards. Imagine that. The time cards attract some of these deputies. They didn't have time cards up until this last year at some of these detention centers and places. So people would come to work and they'd be assigned and be shuffled around. And that's where you end up misspent $100 million because money that was allocated for one position to do one set of responsibilities, they weren't doing it. So this type of thing took place because Sheriff Arpaio was left alone. It's like a kingdom of his own. Of his own domain. And so for that longest time, that type of corruption, you know, you just think you're untouchable. I mean, if you're breaking the law and if you're abusing your power and no one says anything, you're not going to stop.
I was astonished at the level, and particularly the county attorney. I had never seen that level of corruption, of willingness to use your political power to punish political opponents. I'd never seen that before. It was hard to believe when you look behind the facts that it was happening in our country and not, you know, it's not some country that we're complaining about not having a real democracy, right. So where everything's rigged.
Yeah. We only have 3 minutes left. What can we do about our pile? What's going on?
I mean, if people want to sign up at our website, citizensforabetteraz.org, you go there. If you want to support our cause of donation, that's great. We're trying to create an army of canvassers to go out this summer to go door-to-door to tell the message and the story of Sheriff Arpaio, why he's unfit for office, and why we need to replace him in November. We'll be doing other series of actions. We do forums with our organization. We have a big action May 10th at the county attorney's office. We're going to basically, you know, create our citizens grand jury and calling for some sort of indictment.
On May 10th.
On May 10th. That's going to be at noon at the county building.
That's a good idea.
301 West Jefferson.
Citizens Grand Jury.
Where should people go to find out the information? You have a web address?
Yeah, it's www.citizensforabetteraz.org.
Name Arpaio's opponent.
There's one viable candidate. His name is Paul Pinzone. He's a Democrat, 21-year veteran of the Phoenix Police Department. He's getting traction. He's picking up endorsements. He's raising money. He's articulate. He's intelligent. He's someone who's not. He's practical. And he really wants to clean up what's taking place there in Maricopa County. So we're pretty excited about him running.
I saw on a blog the other day that either the election or the Justice Department, Arpaio is gone.
Yes. All right. I can only take responsibility for the election. That's what we're focused on.
Okay. And you said it would almost be worse if the feds prosecuted him because that'll give him another enemy to run.
Yeah,
it could.
You know, he likes to really play the role of the victim, right? Even though he's victimized other people. Oh, you know, look at them coming down. It's all about Obama. It's all about these folks, rather than really taking ownership for his actions. And so I don't want to give him an excuse. I want to go in and take him out. Just
he wants
straight
the people
forward.
To recall.
Want the people
the people
to
vote
him
out.
Sheriff Powell's recall is November 6th.
And then whatever the feds do, but
that's
you
right.
Want the people to stand up. And
Randy Perez, what's next for him?
Yeah, what next? Once you get, or are you?
Well, I have a 7-month plan right now. That's it. I don't know what's in store for me after that. I enjoy the organizing I'm doing. We'll see what happens on that, but that's pretty much it. I don't have much of a vision beyond November 6th right now.
Are you considering running for office again?
I'm not.
Okay.
You were here with us in Sedona today, and that's good enough. That's a lot.
Randy Perez is one of the most practical, least ideological organizers I've ever seen. Your willingness to work with all sides, your respect that you treat the people that you're working with is really astonishing.
You can catch this interview on vvid.org. Vvid.org will be put up there eventually.
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to leave with this. It's all about building power to make the change happen when you see here in Arizona.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Randy, for coming into to Democratic Perspective today. Thank you. We really appreciate your work and taking the time to talk to us.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.